Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a mighty move of the unction of the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. We're so thankful, so grateful that Pastor Jerry McCool is in the building. And I'm giving Pastor Jerry McCool 100% liberty to do what he wants to. I'm glad that he's here. I do not believe that he is here by accident, coincident, but I believe he's here in the divine will of God. All across the building, would you raise your hands and raise your voice as Pastor McCool comes in Jesus' name.
Thank you, my friend. Why don't we give that hand clap to the Lord, for he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He's more worthy than that. He's worthy. He's the healer and the way maker. He's the ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's the God that was there for you. He's the God that is there for you. And he's the God that will be there for you. He's never left you. He's never left you comfortless. He's never left you in the dark. He's the light of the life. He's the morning star. He's everything you need. And he's in the house today. Come on, when you worship the Lord, the Bible says the Lord takes up residence in your hand clap. He moves into your words of worship. He starts moving. He inhabits the praises of his people. When you begin to praise, God begins to move in. Let's worship the Lord, because what we need tonight is a genuine, authentic, powerful, miraculous move of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody is receiving something from the Lord. The surest way to get your prayers answered, the best way, in fact, I would even go as far as to say, I have the secret to answered prayer. I know how to get your prayers answered 100% of the time. Are you ready for it? Find something God wants to do in your life and then pray that God will do it. Find something God wants to do. Find something God wants to change. Find something God wants to improve. Find something that's missing that God wants to put there. And then pray, God, would you put that in my life? God, I want a burden for lost souls. Would you put it in my life? And God says, are you kidding me? I'll put it in there. God, I want to love my family. I want to love my wife and my children in a way that honors you. And he says, absolutely. God, I want to grow the church. I want to be closer to you. I want you to anoint my time in prayer. God says, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe in God. Anybody else besides me and Pastor believe in God? I believe in God. I believe in a miracle working God. I believe in a way making God. I believe in a bondage breaking God. I believe in a healing God, a future changing God, and a past forgiving God. I believe that God is in the house to perform a mighty, mighty miracle. And what we need right now isn't ourselves. What we need is God. And if you will reach for him tonight, and you'll say, God, give me what you want to give me. Make me what you want to make me. Show me what you want me to see. Give me, I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost is moving. God is in the process of changing lives right now. Don't miss out on it. Don't let the enemy steal your praise. Come on, somebody. Get a miracle today. Go to the next level in Jesus tonight. Woo! Tonight. Tonight. Now. Jesus is passing by this moment. Jesus is making his rounds. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let bitterness and unforgiveness, don't let your own way, your own plan, your own failures, your own mess ups get in the way of God. Lord, all that I am, give I thee. Miracle. Miracles. Miracles. Healing. Deliverance. This supernatural infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Family reuniting. Backslider calling. Prodigal son returning. Amazing, wonderful, holy, lovely God is in the house tonight. Woo! You're building him a house right now. You're building him a residence. Don't just throw a piece of cardboard together. Lean it up against an existing wall. Take some scrap piece of this and a leftover piece of that and build your God a temple. But go to him and say, Lord, show me your blueprint. Show me your plan. What kind of house do you want to live in? And then build it for him. Build it on your knees. Build it in prayer and devotion. Build it with hands lifted up. A voice that magnifies the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Of many waters, a thunderous praise of his redeemed people. Hell cannot stand against my praise. I'm gonna snatch them out of your flame. I'm gonna snatch them out of your flame. Jesus. Lord, you are so beautiful. Your ways are so much higher than my ways, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. God, if I could see what you want to do instead of what I think you will do, you would put together some things today that we have recklessly broken. I'm telling somebody, today is the day of miracles. Right now, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you have for me? How do I get ready for a miracle? That's questions that we should have in our heart. This has to be what it looked like on about the 49 and a half day after Jesus left this earth. And they were all together in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. That's got to be what it sounded like as people got their minds on Jesus. Pastor, Brother McCool, I don't know what all this emotion is about. Are you kidding me? I think last time I checked, love is an emotion. The Bible says God is love. What you feel right now is hope. What you feel is the love of God. The love of God. That when I was unlovable, he loved me. When I was unreachable, he reached me. when I wouldn't listen to my parents, I wouldn't listen to my pastor, I wouldn't listen to those that knew better, I finally listened to God. And that was the day my life turned around. Thank you. Thank you for being ready to receive the Word of God. I need you to stretch your hand out to me right now and just simply pray that God would use me as He sees fit. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come before you right now, Lord, a vessel, an empty vessel. God, a Holy Ghost-filled dirt bag. Lord, I'm a container formed and fashioned from the mud of this ground, and inside me is no good thing except for you. I pray right now in the wonderful name of Jesus that you would use me today to accomplish your purpose, not mine. Lord, I'm here to surrender my everything to you. I expect you to do amazing things. I expect people to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost tonight because that's what you're here for. I expect people to be delivered today because that's why you came into the world. I expect the lost to be found and the hopeless to find hope. I expect anyone that has not been baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins to be baptized in Jesus' name tonight because that is your will. In the wonderful, powerful, lovely, awesome, beautiful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And somebody shout out, amen. Again, that means let it happen. Amen. Let it be like you said, Lord. Let it be like you want it, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to have you stand one more time in just a moment, but I didn't talk to Pastor beforehand, but he did tell me very specifically that I was allowed to take my liberty, and I want to do that just for a moment. I don't know how many of you know that this is October, and October is Pastor Appreciation Month. I know you've already bought all kinds of cool cards and you've written some things and you've probably got some neat stuff planned, and I know you're a wonderful church, and to hear him talk about you, you practically walk on water. There are many, many, many ways we can appreciate our pastor and his family. One of them is, of course, that card that you send them, that gift that you send them, that text message, that photograph, whatever it is, however you express appreciation to them. I know you probably have all kinds of great and creative ways that you do that. I want to tell you, those are all wonderful, but I believe Pastor would echo this sentiment. As a pastor, I know the thing that I appreciate more than anything else. I appreciate the fact of leading people that love God, that don't mind praying in their homes, that will reach the hand across the dining room table and grasp that of a spouse and a child and bring the presence of God into their home. One of the best pastor appreciation things you could possibly do is to live for God. Fill this house with praise, just like you're doing. Church, that is the most beautiful thing you can do for your pastor, is to love God. When he stands before God, as he will, right beside you, let him give an account for you that brings him joy. Don't let the conversation go something like, God, I told them, but they wouldn't hear me. God, I tried to tell them, but they wouldn't let go of it. Let it be something along the lines of, Lord, may I present to you my friend, a saint of God who loved me as their pastor, respected me as their pastor, honored me as their pastor, and for that we stand before you today. Let's show our pastor and his family that level of appreciation. Of course, I believe it would also be in order if we even right now could give a wonderful applause to our pastor, the First Lady, their family. Thank you, church. Pastor, this is for you, my friend. Sister Grogan, we love you as a church. This church loves you. We love your worship. We love your leadership. We love your heart. We love everything that you have and you brought to this church. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, Pastor. May the Lord richly bless this pastor and his family. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. I believe he is a witness, and he will be a witness and continue to witness and be a witness for the things of God. If you have your Bibles and you wouldn't mind turning with me to the wonderful book of Hebrews, I want to read two verses out of chapter number 12. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. I have a message for this church. I would be very disappointed if one day on my birthday morning, I sit by the mailbox waiting for that card from Grandma that's got a $10 bill in it, knowing it's coming, and then I look out the window to see the mailman sitting down the street with a pen in his hand and a stack of Hallmark cards writing me, "I love you, my grandson. You're so special to me. I hope you have another wonderful birthday. By the way, here's $10. Find something nice and buy it for yourself." Signed, Grandma. I don't want a message from the mailman. I want a message from God. I didn't come here today to give you a message from the mailman. Your pastor teaches. He teaches. That's what he does. He preaches under the anointing of God. I believe with all of my heart I have a message for this church and for people specifically in this church. For today, don't wait until the end of the service to think about letting God have his way. If at any time during this message you feel like God has called your number and you need to make a radical change in your life, you make it right then. We don't know how long we have. We don't know what tomorrow holds. The best thing you could ever do is take that trial and that tragic history that you have and turn it into a wonderful testimony for God to make your way to an altar. I'm reaching today for prodigals, for backsliders, for first-time guests, and for the house of the wonderful house of God. The baptistry is prepared tonight. If you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, like the Bible says, hear this, man of God, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name before you go home tonight. Not because I said so and not because pastor said so, but because the Bible says so, and the Bible is true, every word. Can I get a witness? Well, it's the truth. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2, "Wherefore, or because, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight," everybody say the weight, "and the sin," say the sin. There's two things that easily beset us. They're both weights and sins. Some things aren't wrong until you do them wrong. Some things aren't wrong until you put it in front of God. Hello? There's weight and there's sin, and they easily beset us. He goes on to say, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse number 2, the focus of my message is looking unto Jesus. Somebody shout out Jesus. Jesus. It describes this Jesus in these next couple of words, the author and finisher of our faith. Somebody say author and finisher. The Bible said he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And here in Hebrews it says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to speak to you for a few moments on the author and the finisher of our faith. Won't you set your Bibles down and just simply ask the Lord to touch you and to speak to you. Give me ears to hear, O God. Lord, that I can hear what the Lord is speaking to the church. Today is a fundamental moment in my life. For I will leave here today in your will, or I will leave here today outside of your will. And that option rests solely upon me. God, if you will speak to me, I will listen. If you move me, I will move. If you give me a desire in my heart, God, you put a hunger in me, I know where to go to see it filled. I look forward to what you have in store for me and my life in the wonderful, powerful, lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. I will not be long. Don't wait for the good part, because this is the good part. I believe we could have an altar call right now, and God could do a mighty miracle in our lives. God is not weak. God is, his hand is not short that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But our iniquities, him speaking says, your iniquities have separated you from me. That means that he can do anything except overcome your need for repentance. So the very first thing we need to do tonight is simply get our head wrapped around the notion that I have messed up and I need a God to help me straighten some things out. Amen? Amen. I've messed up and I need a God to help me get things right. Amen. The word amen means that's right. Let it be. I agree. More of that. That's what I want. Amen? It means I've messed up and I need God. I need him to wash me and I need him to clean me. If I'm going to be clean, I want to be clean by God. I don't want to be clean by a Brillo pad in the kitchen or a mop in the mud room. I don't need just a sponge or a paper towel. If my sin's going to get washed away, somebody, I need the power of God to do it. I need the Spirit of the Lord to wash over me. I cannot be sin free without being set free from God. I cannot wish my sins away. I cannot want my sins away. And I cannot deny my sins away. The only thing that's going to take care of my sins is Jesus Christ. When we say, Lord, will you forgive me? The Bible tells me his answer every time is absolutely. He's got a provision for our sin. And it is repentance and remission. Repentance is a couple of steps. Repentance is number one, pricked in my heart. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. We are all too familiar with that feeling of Acts chapter number 2, where he says they were pricked in their heart. That prick in your heart is that beginning of repentance. It's that feeling that says, God, I have a need, and I need you to fix something that I can't fix on my own. I'm speaking to a church full of humans, breathing people. And if you're a breathing human, you've messed up. And that prick in your heart is the very first step of repentance. That notice of sin, that thought that says, Lord, I'm sorry. Which is the second step of repentance. That godly sorrow comes first, and then we say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Will you forgive me? And we might think that's the end of repentance, but it goes further. The next part of forgiveness is when we're walking towards sin, we turn our backs to sin and our faces to God. Lord, I'll never do it again. We're marching headlong to hell until we make an about face in repentance. If we haven't repented, our road is leading to hell. Because we were born in this yucky, nasty place, and we need new life. Well, guess what is available to you right now, right here? New life. Do you know what's happening right now? The Holy Ghost, nothing less than the very Spirit of God, is moving in this room. And he's walking by and he's poking people. And I can almost sense it. Do you feel that? And some people say, no, I got a hard heart. I don't feel anything. I got a hard heart. life made me this way. Don't make fun of me. My ex-wife, my ex-husband, my ex-boss, my other pastor, I've got a hard heart and you can't touch me, God. Lord, I want to take this old hard, stony heart out and put a heart of flesh in. I'm not used to doing this, but I can do it in a sanctuary because it's a safe place in a sanctuary. That's why they call it a sanctuary. If you're a bird, you want to live in Auburn because it's a bird sanctuary. It's against the law to shoot birds in a bird sanctuary. It's against the rules to hurt one another in a sanctuary. Don't be hurting God's people. The Holy Ghost is moving right now. God is touching us. If there were just one of you in this room, the same thing would be happening. But now there's many of us here. Sense what God is doing. He's reaching for us. You don't know your tomorrow, but God knows your tomorrow. And he's passing by and he's touching each of us. You don't know why he's got to remove that bitterness today. You don't know why he's got to forgive you today. He doesn't know why you've got to quit using drugs tonight. You don't know what's in that next bag. You don't know what's around the next corner. You don't know why God says last time was the last time. Tonight. You have no, every one of us know people that waited one time too long. This is my last time tonight. Tomorrow is going to be it. I'm not going to do it after then. After that, I'm just going to do it one more time. No. You feel the Holy Ghost? Listen, I'm telling you, the Lord, Jehovah, God Almighty, Yahshua, Jesus, Yahshua, Jehovah is our, a kid told me the other day, our superhero. He's our rescuer, our Savior. He's coming here to save somebody's life. Say, Pastor, I'm good. I'm good. The graveyard is full of people who said, I'm healthy, I'm good. I'm good. Oh, you're just trying to scare. I'm just trying to speak truth. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. Again, as the Lord touches you, and if you feel the need to do something, you need to get to this altar, you don't worry about what I'm doing. I'm going to preach right over the top of you. I got a message, and it's going out. But you make your way. You do what you need to do right there, and watch what God does. This is a pivotal moment in this church and in your lives. You have no idea what it took for me to stand right here tonight. I know these times are holy. I know where I'm standing right now. You say, Brother McCool, you think I'm this way and you think I'm that way. You have no idea of my past. Friend, you're exactly right. I have no idea about your past. But you have no idea about your future. Your past is over and done, and you cannot change your past. All you can do is accept it and give it back to God. You say, well, it's my first time in the house. I don't really know how to do anything. That's all right. You'll figure it out. Repentance is simple. Ouch. Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I'll never do it again. And then what we do is we worship God with our voice. I know it sounds really complicated. It's really not so much. First, you got to clean up the vessel, and then you've got to use it. You've got to use your words in praise. Once you've asked God to forgive you, he forgives you every time right then. Every time. Without exception. Big sin, little sin, lots of sin, few sin. It's all exactly the same. He paid the price so he could wash those away like that. Then we begin to worship God. That's the hard part. Thinking of words to say out loud. God, you're amazing. You're wonderful. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for cleaning me. Lord, I want to live my life close to you. You're amazing. You bring me comfort like nothing I've ever felt, God. You're holy and lovely. You give me air to breathe and strengthen my body. God, I want to be with you forever. I don't want anything to ever come between us. You're amazing, Lord. I want to just waltz with you across streets of gold. Nothing is more important than you. That is just simple, plain, old, your heart talking to his heart worship. And if you'll do that with a repented heart, God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost right here tonight. Amen. You've probably all heard of Rembrandt. If you have that photo, could you put that photo? It's actually a painting. Anybody know when that 1957 Chevy was built? It was built in 1957. That's right. That 1957 Chevy was built in 1957. Well, in 1657, Rembrandt painted one of the apostles. Now, Rembrandt was going to go on to paint many of the apostles. He painted lots of them. He painted lots of famous works. But this one is particularly interesting. I was in San Diego just a few weeks ago, and I went to Balboa Park. And in Balboa Park, there's a free museum, the Timucan Museum. How many of you have ever been to Balboa Park down in San Diego? Oh, you got to go. It's a beautiful place. And in that museum in that park is a free museum. Now, they don't have a whole lot of works, but one of the works that they have in that museum is an original oil painting by Rembrandt, painted in 1657. Now that's a long time ago, and it looks like he just finished it yesterday. It's a beautiful painting. The painting is a little bit different than most paintings, for it's kind of set in dark tones, browns, and even blacks. You see a light kind of cast upon the face of this man, Bartholomew. And Bartholomew is doing something a little strange. Bartholomew, as an apostle, he's not mentioned very much in the scripture. In fact, we learn from tradition and other extra-biblical writings that Bartholomew was martyred. He died for his work for the Lord. And he was literally filleted like a catfish. They literally carved the skin from his body. This is shocking for us today, but it happened to most of the people during the reigns of Nero and during the apostolic era. Back then, when you served God, it was going to cost you something. There it is right behind the text there. This is a picture of Rembrandt's, impression of what Bartholomew must have looked like. Now, we don't know for sure. But notice that in his hand is a knife. You say, that's almost offensive. Why do I want to think about these horrible things that are taking place to this man? See that shiny object he's holding there in his hand? That is a knife. The furrowed brow, the wrinkles there, the so subdued clothing, and it's a crazy thing. The author, the painter of this painting, wanted to depict his sacrifice. But the amazing thing about this painting here is someone purchased this painting, and we don't know exactly when, but they purchased this painting from Rembrandt, an original Rembrandt, but they didn't like the content of this painting. They thought that knife was a little repulsive. I don't want those sad things. I don't want those hard things in this painting. So they took their painter, their little dollar store paintbrush, and they converted the knife into a book. You can almost see if you kind of look at it a certain way, you could almost see if you were to draw like a little couple of lines and color some things in, that could be the pages on the top of a book. So rather than hold a fillet knife, he was holding a book, and well, that makes the painting a little more tolerable. Some nobody took a dollar store paintbrush and changed Rembrandt's painting. Now, since the time that that painting was vandalized, through meticulous restoration processes, they have removed all that extra garbage, trash from the canvas of this author. Because this painter, this creator, wanted this to be the image. Jesus Christ says in Hebrews chapter 12, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Today you sit in a church that recognizes not perfection, but the power of God. If you had the opportunity, you might take an eraser to your life and remove some bad decisions. And God says, you leave that to me. Don't edit my work of art. Don't change. You feel the Holy Ghost moving. Don't change. Don't let your history prevent you from making your way to an altar. Don't let what you call a mistake get in the way of what I call a masterpiece. I'm talking to somebody who's been on the rough side of the mountain. I was praying one time and I was asking God, God, why do you have to have me on the rough side of the mountain? And the Lord, in His loving, kind way for me, He gave me a vision in my eyes. And it kind of looked like a pyramid with stairs that went way up to the mountain. He said, son, this is not the rough side of the mountain. These are stairs. This isn't the rough side of the mountain. These are stairs. You can't get up this mountain any other way. If it were smooth, you wouldn't get 5 feet off the ground. These are stairs, son. God, I want to live on the mountaintop and not in the valley. And the Lord took me to a mountaintop just like that, the very pinnacle, the very point. And He told me, He said, son, look out now. And I looked out and it was beautiful. Oh, man, all I saw was sky. He said, how many degrees do you see? And I said, I can see 360 of them. Lord, this is beautiful. He said, how many ways of them are wrong? I guess 359 of them. And then He swooped me down to a valley. And I'm talking about a valley. It was more like a crack, that this shoulder on my left side was touching the wall and the shoulder on my right side was touching the wall as it narrowed down to literally the width of one shoe. And I had to step in this crack. I'm up against the walls and I put one foot in front of the other and I had to lift it up to get it around. And He said, son, in the valley, He says, now how many directions can you go? And I said, there's only two. It's only forward or backward. And He says, son, the valley is simply the mountaintop with handrails. There's only two ways that you can go today. You can either go the direction I'm calling you, or you can go back where you came. He says, don't loathe the mountain. Don't loathe the valley. It's better than the mountain. Don't complain about the rough side of your life. That's what it took to get you to where you are right now. I want to bring perspective to someone. I want you to know that you're in the house of a merciful, healing God that is reaching for you right now. You think your life is one of the reasons that God doesn't want you. And God is telling you, son, you are my masterpiece. Musicians, would you come? I told you I've prayed for this service and I've seen this altar. I know what's going to happen right here. I know the will of God. I can't say I know what's going to happen, for what's going to happen is not dependent upon God. It's dependent upon you. God will do anything for us except make decisions for us. He will equip us with every piece of information we need. He will call you, but He'll never push you. He will call your name, but He'll never wheelbarrow you to an altar. So this is it. I'm going to ask this church to stand right where you are and to take that eraser that you've been holding in your life, that eraser of regret, that pencil that you'd like to edit this thing in your world called life, these ways that you'd like to change what God has done and allowed, and mistakes you've made and places you've been, choices that you've let slip by. And here we are at this place, a mess. And God is calling you right now. Thank you, ma'am. God is calling you. He's passing by this moment. You're waiting way too long. You don't know who's here. You're spending way too much time thinking about something that you can't change by yourself. Say, Pastor, I've had the Holy Ghost for this many years or that many years. Okay, and what's that mean? You mean there's any time in your lives where an altar is not the place to be? Is there ever a time in our life where prayer is not, is where prayer is inappropriate? Is there ever a place where a sacrifice is unaccepted to God when it's offered in truth? You're about to witness a miracle in this room. Somebody's going to stop wrestling the pen out of the hand of the master. And we're going to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I receive my life as what it is, and I bring it to you as an offering. And I say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Remember, repentance is the response to that prick in your heart. Lord Jesus, would you forgive me? I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I'm ready to be clean, God. I'm ready to give. Church, I know there are lives in this room that need what's at this altar, and you're not quite here yet. Let me encourage you. I am going to make a request from this sacred desk. I'm going to say, Church, would you come to this altar? Everyone, would you come? Thank you, Church. Let's begin to worship and call out upon the Lord. Bring that person you're praying with. There's no better place than an altar. Bring them. Come down. They need your help. Thank you, church. Don't be worried. Don't be scared. You're not joining the church. You're communing with your God. Just talk to the Lord. Lord Jesus, here I am. Lord, I feel something inside, but I'm not really sure what it is. In the Bible days, they closed their eyes and they lifted their hands to the Lord. That's just how they did it. They began to talk out loud to Jesus, and they began to tell him, Lord, I really don't know what I'm doing here, but I just know I'm doing the right thing. He said something about, you know, asking you to forgive me. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Would you wash me, Lord, of everything that's... I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is moving right now. God is changing some lives. If you've got a disease and a sickness in your body, God's here to heal it today. Not so you can do better, but so you can have a testimony. So God's work can be manifest. If you've got a thorn in your flesh, you've got a challenge that you have prayed for and it hasn't been taken care of yet, perhaps it's simply part of the masterpiece tonight. God, I'm going to let you paint what you want to paint. Love on him. You're doing good, church. Love him in your language. Love him in your words. Love him in your words. Come on, church. We can do this. Don't let another Sunday night pass by. Get as close as you can to your God. Lord, you're my wonderful Savior. I love you, Lord. I'm ready, Lord, to go places I've never gone, to do things I've never been able to do. Lord, I'm ready to lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us, so I can run with patience the race that is set before me. The unprecedented moment. The first time a sinner came to a person that had to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and said, what do I need to do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is for you, church. This is for you. God has reached for you tonight, and you've answered Him. He's loving on you. Let Him love you. Let Him love you. Get lost in it. Close your eyes. Don't get distracted. Just you and God, have a moment with Him. Lord, if you're real, let me feel you. Lord, if you really want me to make a choice, God, bring it to my mind right now. God, if you want me to change something, Lord, just speak to me, Lord, and I'll make that change. You're doing right, church. You're doing good. You're making hard choices. He's saving you. He's saving you. Holy, holy. Use your words. It makes a difference. Use your voice. Use your voice. It'll help organize your thoughts, and it'll make that praise different. Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. Come on. You're doing it. You're doing it.
Come on, lay your hand on somebody. Let's pray together. Let's reach for this together.
Still I will listen to
Come on, this is beautiful. This is getting heaven's attention. Hallelujah.